Throughout the Lifeline is the title of today's exhortation, taken from Romans chapter 9 and verses 10 to 15. Romans chapter 9 and verses 10 to 15. Commenting on this text in verse 12 and 13, Roger Ellsworth observes well. He says, by placing Jacob, the second child, over Esau, the Lord was driving home the essential nature of salvation. He was showing that it is entirely a matter of his doing. Jacob had done nothing to deserve being set over Esau. Esau had done nothing to being set aside. Jacob was elevated solely because it pleased God to do so. It was sheer grace. There was absolutely nothing for which Jacob could take credit. He could not explain his elevation by saying he was stronger than Esau. He was not. He could not explain it in terms of being wiser than Esau. He proved to be. But God placed him above Esau while the two of them were still in the womb. We cannot attribute wisdom to Jacob at this stage. God has always liked to act in this particular way. He has always delighted in elevating the weak and foolish over the strong and the wise. When Israel needed a king, God bypassed all the impressive sons of Jesse and settled on unimpressive David. 1 Samuel 16. When God sent his son into the world, he bypassed Jerusalem, the religious, cultural, and political center of that region, and settled on tiny, unimpressive Bethlehem. When Jesus chose his 12 disciples, he bypassed the movers and the shakers of the day, the elite of society, and settled on some fishermen, a tax collector and a political zealot or two. The Apostle Paul affirms that God operates in a very same way in this matter of eternal salvation. As a general rule, he bypasses the wise, the mighty, the noble, and settles on the foolish, the weak, and the base. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 26 to 28 is there in your notes. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things that are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. When Jesus was upon earth, he went to the tax collectors. He went to the sinners. He came to them, and how the Lord opened the spiritual eyes of this. Roger Ellsworth further explains, he says, you can be sure that salvation is the result of God's grace, just as much as Jacob's elevation. It is not a matter of our meriting it or our working for it. It is all the product of God's grace. It is God who chooses, calls, and grants repentance and faith. Do you realize that? God enables us, prepares our hearts, so that we would love Him, we would choose to serve Him, we would choose to follow Him. How is it so? Well, it is God who prepares us because He loves us, so that we can be a part of His good plan. There is not one shred of credit that a saved person can take for himself. All glory goes to the Lord. How sinful nature resists this teaching. But while we resist, the Bible insists. Just as the Lord chose Jacob, so He has chosen each of His people. The Apostle Paul affirms in these breathtaking words. He says, "Blessed be the Lord, God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." God chose us to be His children, you know, before the foundation of the world. And why is it that He waited for me to be at this time of my life to save me? It is by the sovereign wisdom of God. It is by the sovereign grace of God. How can we understand? According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. How privileged we are, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Predestined us unto the adoption of children. That means God has prepared us that we will be His children, that He will save us, that we will be adopted into the kingdom of God through Christ, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Right? The Malay word is suka, right? Suka. God chooses us by the pleasure of His will. And we are so thankful, right, that He chose us, that He didn't bypass us, that we are privileged in His sight. How precious we are. Although we know we are nothing, we realize how God loves us. Why should He choose to manifest Himself to us? He could have manifested Himself to many more capable, many more wiser, many more qualified people. Why did He manifest Himself to us? Well, by His pleasure. By His good pleasure. The good pleasure of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace. In other words, it will cause us to thank Him, you know. Wow, God is so good. Wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Accepted by God. Accepted. We have here the fact of election. He chose us. Here we have its time. Before the foundation of the world, its basis, according to the good pleasure of His will, and its vehicle in Christ. Here also is its purpose, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That we should be holy. You know how the world is reeling in misery because of sin? How terrible is the plague, the disease of sin. But how pure, how righteous, How wonderful is the ways of God? Can we attain to it? Can we attain to it? We cannot. But it is God who imparted it to us. Show us the purity of life that He wants us to have. And how when we respond to Him, that response is from God, you know. And here is the proper response to it, to the praise of the glory of His grace. How wonderful our God is. How great He is to save us and to accord us the honor of being His children. Wow. We may quibble all we want about why the Lord would operate in this way, but whether we like it or not, this is His way, and He has made, and as He made abundantly clear in His revelation to Rebecca. What shall we say then? Verse 14 of Romans chapter 9. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For He has said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. When Israel worshipped the golden calf, God's anger was kindled. Had Moses not interceded before God on behalf of His people, they would have perished. God spared Israel because Moses found grace in God's sight. God's reply to Moses is that it is His prerogative to decide if Israel will be spared. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. He is the sovereign God. We all must bow down to Him. We all must realize that we can't. We must submit to Him. We must obey Him. We must follow Him. And will He harm us? Of course not. He loved us with a perfect love. And He calls us by His perfect Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He won us by that perfect sacrifice. If God has not extended His mercy to sinners like us, we would have perished in our sins. How is it that He came to me and said that there is a God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. How did I not understand the way to God? I did not. I was so confused, so lost, so stranded, so lonely, until the Lord came to me. I found the best companion for my soul. And is there any regret? No regret. Because a day with Jesus is better than the day before. You know, a new day with Him, right, is better than the day before. He blesses us by His grace. As we know Him more and more, we love Him more and more. Because he manifests himself more and more to us. How precious we are. How good he is to us. Has God not extended his mercy to us, sinners? We would have perished in our sins. He extended his mercy to us by sending his Son to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Can God be charged of being uncompassionate? No, he sent his Son. Certainly not. But there are those in Israel who chose to spurn the grace of God through Christ by rejecting the gospel. Can you understand it? The people of God, the commonwealth of Israel, how is it that they have received all the grace, all the years, and yet it's not appropriated? Are they culpable? Yes, for rejecting God's love. You see, how can we receive God's love? Well, we humble ourselves before God. We know that his way is better than our way. His will is better than our will. His word is better than our word. And therefore, we are willing to take time to be blessed with his word, with his presence. This picture of God's love is well demonstrated in Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus went through Samaria so that she could reach out personally to save this woman steeped in the sin of adultery. She has had 5 husbands. Jesus did not despise the woman because she was not purely Jewish, nor for her sins. She was gloriously saved. Likewise for us, we have a story to recount of how God showed mercy to us to save us by his grace. A broader picture of God's love is demonstrated in his ministry efforts to reach out to lost sinners. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, having no shepherd. How sad it is. The multitude as sheep having no shepherd. They were lost in the misery of their predicament. But God did not leave them alone. You remember today's weekly article, "Give ye them to eat." When Jesus came and saw the people, he was moved with compassion upon them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. And the day was now far spent, and his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place. And now the time is far past. It's late. Send them away that they may go into the country and into the villages to buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." What did our Lord say to them? "Give ye them to eat." And they said to him, "Give ye them to eat. Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread?" 1 penny worth is a laborer's day's wages. 200 penny worths, that's how much you need. How much of bread you need to buy to give them to eat. And he said to them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they said, "5 loaves and two fishes. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Our Lord Jesus commanded his disciples to provide food to feed the multitude that came out into a desert place to seek him. He taught them many things. And our text tells us that Jesus was moved with compassion toward them. God's love and care for his people was demonstrated so visibly in this account for our comfort and our strengthening. Who is Jesus? You come to him. He will take care of you. In the desert, there was no food. The disciples understood the physical reality of the challenge before them when they asked him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?" There was a need to buy a substantial number of loaves to feed the multitude. 5,000, right? Today's terms, we said, wow, many vans packed full with bread has to be sent. Imagine 5,000 people. How to feed 5,000 people? Wow. The bread has to be sent. Everyone was hungry. So you have to be send it immediately to meet the immediate need. The psalmist testified for our encouragement in Psalm 37, verse 25 to 26. "I have been young and now am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken and his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." God takes care of us. The psalmist says in Psalm 37, verses 18 to 19, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied." Are you afraid of the famine? Well, don't be afraid of the famine. The Lord Jesus Christ will take care of you. The people sought Jesus. We are reminded of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:11. "Give us this day our daily bread." Do you ask God this day for your daily bread? Well, the Lord seeks that we would pray and ask him, "Give us this day our daily bread." Why? Because all sustenance, all subsistence come from him. Right? Give us the bread and give us the appetite to partake it, to enjoy it, to eat it. He will demonstrate his ability to help them in a wholesome way. He did not disappoint them. Jesus asked his disciples, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they said, "Five loaves and two fishes." So the food available could barely feed 20 people. Right, you give them one loaf of bread, you give them two or three slices each. Five loaves, barely feed 20 people. And two fishes, right? Two fish, that's to say, wow, maybe the fish is a bigger one, a bigger one, so you can peel. But not more. Right? Even if you can feed 20 people, you need 250 times more, you see. And he commanded them to all sit down by companies upon the grass, green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds, by fifties, and when they had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them. Jesus visibly demonstrated how he was able to meet the needs of those who come to him methodically as they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. Jesus rounded up his sheep upon the green pastures and fed them with bread enough and a healthy supplement of fish. Isn't it true? So true. You get a good sandwich that the Lord makes for us, right? For them there, the best sandwich. How he managed to peel, you know, all the delicious cooked fish, and how he managed to, make the bread, manufacture bread out of his hands. Right, to make 250 loaves, wow, it takes some effort, you know. You need quite a big oven, right? Yeah, how was he able to do that immediately? Jesus rounded up his sheep upon the green pastures and fed them with bread enough and a healthy supplement of fish. The psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters." You see, God takes care of you. How does he take care? By his power, the invisible God. How will you know it? Well, you will know it because the Lord takes care of you, you see. You are his. Our Lord Jesus looked up to heaven, acknowledging our help comes from the blessing of our Heavenly Father who sent him. The psalmist says, "I will lift up my eyes upon the hills, or unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And they did all eat and were filled. None who sought Jesus were left out. They were willing to be rounded up by the beckoning of his disciples who organized them according to their master's instruction." See, if you are willing to come to Jesus, willing to listen to his word, wow, what blessing. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. In other words, not only had they fed themselves full, but they also had leftover. In the sense that there was more than they could eat. The disciples were able to further pack, tapao, is it? 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. Jesus is God. He is the creator. Therefore, he has the power to manufacture bread in the wilderness by his bare hands and to supply an unending supply of cooked fish by his power. This is the Jesus whom we worshipped. And the Lord wants us to know him and to know his power. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The Lord Jesus Christ, how precious he is. How precious he is. How precious he is to you. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What grace we have experienced. Can you see the power of Jesus? Well, in the Spirit, through his word, and how he manifests himself true in our lives. Jesus came to bring salvation to mankind, eternal life in heaven to all who will come to him. How wonderful it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How compassionate he is on them who were fainted, who were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. If Jesus had not reached out to these, they would have perished in their sins. And yet many rejected Jesus and chose to crucify their Messiah. Why are they so vindictive? Why is the hatred there so great? Why would their heart not yield? How sad, isn't it? How sad, isn't it? The Apostle Paul is presenting the case that God cannot be charged for not showing mercy because he is a merciful God. You know, God is merciful. But if we don't want him, what to do? God is not cold and ruthless, but he is warm and loving. The lifeline is there through the gospel from the beginning when Adam fell into sin. It is for the individual to accept God's compassion by holding on to the lifeline of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ given to them. You know, this is a season where we need to exercise faith. All the more we have to be a testimony to the world. All the more. And the people of God must not shrink during this time of testing. The world would fear, but the people of God must not fear. Why? Because we have the Lord with us to help us. Absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. They can kill the body, but the soul, they cannot kill. And the Lord wants us to know that we are willing to follow him even unto death. Not easy. How to trust a God that you cannot see? Well, through his word, he tells us, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He's ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall never be ashamed in the time of evil or in the evil time. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Dear friends, this is the God that we follow. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that deserves our honor. He never forsakes us. In fact, before a crisis, He already prepared us for the crisis. How marvelous is our God. He prepares us. So that when the testing comes, His people will find His glory, a triumphant way by which He will lead them. How wonderful it is. How blessed are the people of God. Should we not praise Him? Should we not love Him? Should we not serve Him more and more? Shall we not give our all for His glory? We can do nothing less. Even our all is not enough to repay what He had done, or what He has done for us. You know? Because all that we have comes from Him. Nothing that we have is of ourselves. And therefore, we realize that we are in a relationship with a being that is beyond us. And the only way by which we can live is to subsist in Him. To subsist in Him. Be willing to subsist in Him. Wow. Can it be lived? Of course. Our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated it while He was on earth. Right? He was a carpenter's son. From the most, the worst of the towns in Nazareth. Nothing to boast of, nothing good to say. And yet, He was the Savior of the world. Can we see that the ways of God is not the ways of men? It's not the way of the world. Let us not look at the ways of God through the lenses of the ways of the world. We have to look at Him by the way He presents Himself. That is how He presents Himself. Lowly. It is said that the gate of heaven is low. Those who stand proud and tall cannot enter. Well, the Lord wants us to know, right, that the ways of God is very different from what we know. And that is why oftentimes He had to lead us through a period of great trial, testing, awakening to the soul, so that we will be tender to receive Him. We will be tender to be blessed of Him. May the Lord strengthen us by His grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank thee for showing us thy how thou art a merciful God. Thou hast showed mercy, thou hast showed compassion. Thank thee that you have given it to us and we have received it from thee. O Lord, we cannot thank thee enough for what for who thou art and what thou art to us. Lord, we pray that thou would be gracious to bless us with thy presence in this coming week, to know that thou art indeed a God of mercy, of compassion, that we can call upon thy unfailing mercy, call upon thy unfailing compassion on us, that and yet we would receive from thee. Yet again we will receive from thee. O Lord, we praise thee for thy mercy and thy grace. And Lord, we thank thee that thou art indeed a God of mercy and grace. Strengthen thy people in this new week. This I pray with thanksgiving. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.